Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
At least one of us who were on the show showed up today.
Brand new cast of characters for
you. It's a whole new cast today.
You got the D-listers over here in sports.
I don't know about that. It's just everybody's gone today.
It's got to be jarring, Dean. I like to personally apologize.
I don't like to really think too much during the show. This is going to require me paying attention during the show today.
I, for one, have been looking forward to this all weekend.
We've been prepping for 2 hours, Dean, to be our best.
Really?
Yes, it's been intense in here.
It's been great.
Like working out before a game? Like that?
I just looked at Kevin and said, carry me.
Well, Carmen and I go back far enough that you probably said, don't even worry about it because he doesn't care about the show either.
I did not say that.
So, it's nice to have both of you here. Schwani and Andy are both off. And Kevin Wells is filling in the Schwani position today. And nice to have Mark Carmen. It's been forever since I've seen you.
I know, Dean. I'm thinking about you right now in your old office back on in the Tribune Tower days.
In the old dump, as I like to call it.
That place was sweet, your office I'm talking about.
My office was because it was like you needed a map to find it. It was not easily found.
No one knew it existed. I think I worked there for 2 years. I'm like, what is this room? Oh, wow.
This is Dean's office / studio. Yeah, that was a nice studio there. And now I have a cubicle.
Still here, baby.
Yeah.
I feel like I missed out on the Tribune Tower days, but then I hear the horror stories.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you missed out, buddy. It was amazing.
There were pluses and minuses. You know what was some of my favorite days to be at Tribune Tower was on Bears-Packer days, because the Packer fans would be walking up and down Michigan Avenue taunting me as if, I don't know why they would decide to taunt me, but they would come up with their, often with cheese hats on, and, their jerseys, and, like, hey, Pack, the Pack, the Pack. And I would call security and turn on the sprinklers on them.
Great move.
Yeah. I always wanted them to put sprinklers out there. They never did.
Well, they had that mic that you could talk on the street and scare them.
I was going to say, I heard about that. The outside mic. Did you ever turn it on?
Anything, always.
Anything? Well, when Packers fans were walking by, nasty stuff?
No. I just ignored them. And inevitably, somebody would pull their pants down and think that we'd never seen a human butt on the window before, when really it happened several times per show, often by me, on the other side of the glass. Well, anyway, we're here for almost a full show today. And this is a tricky day to follow what's going on here, because I'm on until 12:30. And then it's Hamp and OB, right, at 12:30?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what Andy's doing today. He's got a long day today. Oh. He's got the post-game show at 9 o'clock tonight.
Poor Andy. He has to watch a football game and eat food with Hamp and OB. Oh. So then after Hamp and OB at 1:30 now, right?
That's right.
What happens then?
That would be the Joe Brand Blackhawks pregame show into the Hawks in Calgary at 2.
Mm. Okay. And then after that, it's Northwestern. Is that right?
The Cats and the Michigan State Spartans from Welsh Ryan Arena. Huge game for Northwestern. Hopefully we'll bounce back after the Illinois loss.
Yeah.
And then we get the Hamp at OB postgame show.
And that's basically at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
OB will be in a great mood.
Oh. Oh, I hope the Bears had better win, because if the Bears lose and Hamp is that tired, or OB is that tired that late, it's must listening either way, I guess.
All right. What the hell are you talking about?
OB is thrilled. There's Wildcat basketball right after the game.
I can only imagine. I can't wait to see him at 12:30 just to throw a little salt in the wound. I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's get things started here in a second.
Snow.
Yeah, well, she's going to be able to do that.
Snow, I long to clear.
This is going to be, that looks like a first blast of some serious winter weather this week. Wanted to start off dealing with that because we did get some snow yesterday. If you were up early this morning, you probably saw some snow. But all the experts are telling us the snow is not done with us yet. We have had with us on the program before the Emmy award-winning Bill Snyder, who you hear Tom Skilling frequently speak about. He is Tom's weather producer and nice enough to join us this morning. Bill, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. How are you? And a happy new year to you,
happy
my friend.
New year to you. I've been enjoying all the pictures that you've been posting. Bill was on vacation and just back from Jamaica.
Just to
make us feel a little colder. He just came back from Jamaica.
I'll tell you, Dean. Yeah, this this is nothing yet compared to what kind of cold we're going to see in about a week or 10 days from now.
Oh,
but
boy.
Yeah,
it certainly
stings a little bit coming back from 85-degree sunshine and tropical breezes off the Caribbean.
Yeah.
It was a lovely vacation. Yeah,
What parts of Jamaica were you in?
So I flew into Montego Bay, and then we took a car to the our resort on the 7 Mile Beach in Negril, which is about an hour and a half drive from Montego Bay Airport. And so we spent all our time there, on the resort, and you pretty much can walk to most everything in that area. And if not, then, they have cars available to take you places. And but it just gorgeous. It's certainly a different way of life down there, but almost made it surreal thinking that, my gosh, we're in January here, early January, and I'm here
in
my bathing suit on the beach.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
From the time that I got there to the time that I left,
right.
I did not, I took my jeans off and put my shorts on and didn't need my jeans again.
Never looked back until you got back on the plane again. I was only in Jamaica one time, and I was there years ago with my brother. And we rented a car. We drove all over the island, literally.
Right.
It's not a huge island, but we drove all over. We stayed in little small villages and towns. We met some wonderful people, had amazing food. It's a great place. Really, really, really,
really
nice
good
place.
Food. Yeah, really good food down there. And nothing that you're used to. You can't really get here. And, some good jerk chicken, and the seafood is outstanding. Fresh caught right there.
Right.
I mean, we were on the beach, Dean, and there was, they have, my friends, they've been going for about, 6 years now, 5-6 years, and they've been bugging me to go. And finally, I got my act together and got my passport updated, which needed to be done, and I did that back in the fall. And, at that point, all systems were a go to make the trek with them.
Yeah.
And, but there's a guy that his name is Patrick, and he's a he sells lobster on the beach, and he walks up and down the beach, and literally for $15 to $20, he pulls a lobster out of the shell for you right in front of you. He's got his his gloves on and his little spray of garlic butter and so forth, and puts it on the plate for you, pulls it out of the shell right there, and gives you a fork and a napkin, and you're on your way.
That's
so literally,
fantastic.
You're sitting there on the beach, and you got a guy that's serving lobster right in front of you. It's pretty cool.
Cool. What I remember, people were selling other things on the beach.
Oh, yeah. No, they're still selling that. But, yeah. Yes.
We were not off the plane. Like 20 minutes, and people were offering to sell us the ganji. This was back in the day when we were both very hippie looking.
So we
looked like prime candidates for it. Anyway.
Let's talk some
Chicago winter weather, because next few days, as you said, the next week or so, we're going to have a stark reminder of what winter means in Chicago again, aren't we? What's going to happen today?
Well, today, Dean, I don't think there's going to be too many problems today. We had a little bit of, as you had mentioned at the start of the show here, that we had a little coating of snow overnight this morning in spots. Today, I just expect us to to see some, you know, some drizzle and maybe a few spits of flurries here and there, but no accumulation or anything to be concerned about today. And even temperatures will probably warm up a little bit than from where they're at right now in the low 30s. I think we'll get into the mid 30s this afternoon. So I'm not expecting any travel issues or any of that so forth today. But when things start to get interesting is, you know, later tomorrow night. And, you know, we've got it's a complex system. It's going to come in two distinct waves. So the first one arrives, Dean, it looks like, somewhere about midnight or so, you know, maybe an hour or two on either side of that, tomorrow night, and it'll go into the impact the Tuesday morning rush hour. And that system, the first wave of snow, which will be wet and heavy snow, I should mention too. So that's going to be, you know, caution is certainly advised as far as removing that type of snow because it's very wet and we refer to it as heart attack snow because temperatures are going to be hovering right around or even a degree or two above freezing. And that's when temperatures are that warm and you get, you know, heavy snow to fall, it's always going to be of the wet variety. So that system, Dean, looks like most of us can expect about 1 to 3 inches from that first round of snow by Tuesday morning. However, if you're listening to us, you know, along and south of I-80, so areas like Kankakee, Valparaiso, Rensselaer, Indiana, those areas it looks like could get as much as 2 to 5 inches.
Oh, wow.
And so that's, that. You know, again, that's going to, I don't see any impacts. Tomorrow morning's rush hour will be fine. Tomorrow evening's rush hour will be fine. But this will certainly have an impact on Tuesday morning's rush hour, especially on those, you know, secondary and untreated roadways, right. That you know, you could run into some slick spots. Then I think we'll have a brief lull in the precipitation. So probably Tuesday morning, even till about through about lunchtime when that first wave passes through, we'll have a break. But then we'll see the next round come in, and that looks like it's going to impact, certainly have an impact on the Tuesday afternoon and evening rush hour and could spill over even into Wednesday morning. Now, the difference between the first wave and the second wave is that the secondary one looks like it's going to have the biggest impacts to our northwest. So if you're listening to us from Rockford, Dixon, DeKalb, Huntley, those areas certainly look primed right now to see 4 inches or more of snow from that secondary wave. Elsewhere, it's going to be the forecast is quite tricky, Dean, because it looks like there's going to be a sharp cutoff in snow amounts with that main wave as it comes in. And, you know, as we always say, you know, people like to post snow maps on social media days ahead of time. You know, our technology's gotten so good, but the fact of the matter is that there's just no skill at precisely predicting the exact amount of snow in your neighborhood 5 or 6 days out, which is why what we try to do in the weather profession here is we try to just, you know, the approach is to just flag the system down and say, hey, look, this is a system that we're watching. It's going to impact the area, but, you know, at this point in time, let's just you know,
keep
give
an
a
eye
heads
on.
Up.
Just keep an eye.
Right, exactly. Yep. And if you're traveling that day, you want to pay close attention to the forecast, and it's certainly something that would be refined in the coming days. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, any slight alteration in the track of the low pressure system, and that's, you know, typically what we look for in forecasting winter storms. But, you know, a change in the track, Dean, even 30 to 50 miles, can have a huge impact on just where that narrow band of heavy snow lays out. So the way it looks right now, and again, this, you know, again, this is subject to change, but the way it looks right now with that main wave of snow that, excuse me, that's going to come in Tuesday, you know, Tuesday afternoon into Wednesday morning, you know, the far west and northwest suburbs look to be most favored. So, you know, even as close by as Elgin and Aurora, you know, could be in for it. Now, areas close to the city, it's going to be a close call. I mean, there'll still probably be some snow. However, I don't think that the heaviest snow band is going to fall like right over the heart of Chicago, okay, or even affect our two major airports.
All right.
But you know, it's interesting. Yeah, we're certainly going to watch that, and that's not the only storm we're going to see this week, Dean.
Oh, good.
I know, right?
When,
that's what we wanted to hear. I don't,
when
you know,
does
as a matter of fact,
when does the second punch come in?
So the second storm looks to arrive later Friday into Saturday, and that system, you know, where the two distinct differences between these systems, Dean, is that the first one we're teetering right on the fence as far as the, where the rain snow line is going to lay out, and even where it's going to snow, temperatures are going to be hovering around or even, you know, even a couple of degrees above freezing. And that is always tricky when forecasting snow, because if your temperature is above freezing and it doesn't snow heavy enough, you get some melting and compacting of the snow as it falls. And, you know, you don't have as much accumulation as you would otherwise if the temperatures were colder, you know, more dense atmosphere for the snowfall to production to occur. Now, the second system that arrives Friday, Saturday, that is going to fall in a far colder environment. And there is little doubt that the precipitation form will be snow, and it's going to fall, you know, occur with some wind. And as that system pulls through here, it's going to drag down the coldest air of the season by far. And that's going to come in this, you know, next weekend, and it'll spill over into the week that follows. And, you know, we could be, you know, some days, you know, during this stretch of days here, we could be talking high temperatures in single digits and nighttime lows that dip below zero, which we haven't seen that yet. You know, we've been so fortunate this winter. You know, we like to refer to winter, you know, climatologically in the weather profession, as one that starts in December 1st and runs through the end of February. And, you know, up until just a day or two ago, you know, we've had 18 consecutive days with temperatures above normal. We've had the third warmest start to a winter in the past 153 years. We had, you know, we marveled at just how extraordinarily warm December was. And even, you know, even the lack of snow. I mean, it's what, you know, it's interesting, Dean, you were mentioning about our snow yesterday. I had looked, we had 2.6 inches of snow officially at O'Hare yesterday. Do you know that that was the biggest calendar day snow here in almost a year?
Wow.
Since back on January the 25th last year, we had 3.6 inches. So it's been a while.
I haven't been complaining about it. I haven't minded it at all.
I haven't either. I'm sure our snowplow drivers out there probably would beg to differ with us on that one. But I completely agree with you,
Kevin. Did you have a question for Bill?
My question was answered miserably, unfortunately.
I wanted to know about Fridays. If Bill is nothing else, he's thorough. I will say that much.
I just wanted to know about Friday because I think we were all talking about this Monday thing and more snow, and we haven't really had any. And now I'm like, what the heck? There's something coming in Friday, but too early to forecast totals for that one. That was pretty much all I had.
You know, Kevin, I hesitate. We hesitate to do that just because, you know, there's certainly...
too much can change between now and then, right?
Well, sure.
And again, like I said, you know, the precise track of the low-pressure system, you know, at this distance, you know, at this point, what we say is it's lines on a weather map, okay? You know, our modeling has gotten so good, but even at this distance, you know, this close-in distance, you know, you change the track, and there's been fluctuations, known to be fluctuations in the storm track, especially at this distance, and 50 to 100 miles in that track can really make a difference in where the heaviest snow lays out. So,
Kevin, you can't,
that's another system to watch. Let's get through the first one that comes in tomorrow night through Tuesday night into Wednesday, and
Kevin,
we'll try and catch our breath and get ready for the next one.
You can't tell that he's Skilling's producer at all, or, you know, assistant and protege, right?
He is phenomenal.
With all the details. Bill, you are the greatest.
The only thing I want to know, what do you use for dibs, Bill?
Oh, for dibs? You know what? Kevin, I live in the suburbs, so I don't need any dibs.
Oh, yeah, lucky man.
So no dibs, I know, but I always marvel at... just the different types of things that people use.
One of my favorite things every year is the creativity.
The creativity that people have of
putting stuff out in the street to save their parking spaces. I got to get a couple of messages in here, and then Kevin will have a news update for us. Bill, we really appreciate the very, very thorough weather update. Thank you, my friend. Welcome back.
Hey, always. Dean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Everybody stay warm this week.
I'm going to have a tropical drink thinking of you while I watch the Golden Globes later on today.
Hey, there you go. That sounds like a good plan, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That's Bill Snyder, the Emmy Award-winning weather producer for Tom Skilling over at Channel 9. Now, a lot of people on the text line are calling Bill Snyder Bill the Weather Guy. That's a good name for him.
Love it.
Like, because he's on, I hear him every once in a while doing the weather on WGN Radio. He's Tom Skilling's producer. He is so knowledgeable And so great. You can hear full of enthusiasm. So thank you, Bill the Weather Guy, for helping us out here today. Now, are you guys familiar with the far-flung forecast?
I am. Yeah, I've heard Schwani do it a bunch of times. But I'm glad I'm not doing it because I wouldn't be able to live up to that. So I'm.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's extravagant.
The first thing he said this morning, Kevin said, Dean, was that he's really worried about stepping into Schwani's shoes here and happy that he's not. I'm not kidding you. 7 a.m.
It's impossible to fill those shoes.
It is.
Schwani's getting fan mail.
It's daunting.
It's showing up at the doorstep here. It's cards, daunting. Written notes.
Members of the Dave Schwan fan club were outside the door of the building when I came in this morning. It's like Swifties. They're Schwan. What would you call them? Schwanies filling in for him. So anyway, I thought for in Schwani's absence today, that I would occasionally I like to do the far flung forecast, and it goes a little something like this, where we start off by saying now it's time for the blah 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 far flung forecast, the interesting compendium of facts and figures presented to us each week by Dave Schwan, who didn't care enough to be here on the actual show itself today.
Wow.
So we are all filling in. And today, get out your compasses and protractors. He says that every week, too. And for the life of me, I don't understand what that means, but I like that he does it every week. I like the consistency. So get out your compasses and protractors. We're going to Arlington, Virginia today, where we acknowledge the birthday of a popular journalist. This journalist was born in 1957. I'll give you a little description of who this person is. See at what point you can figure out who this person is. She is the daughter of a writer and journalist. She pursued a career in broadcasting after graduating from University of Virginia with a degree in American Studies. And early in her career, she was a desk assistant at ABC News in Washington, and then went to the Cable News Network and worked in its Washington bureau. In the early 1980s, she moved to CNN's Atlanta office, where she held a number of positions. But after CNN failed to offer her a full-time job, she accepted a reporting job in Miami, but eventually wound up working for an NBC station back in Washington, D.C., where she began filling in as a weekend anchor on the NBC Nightly News. In 1990, she started appearing on the Today Show. And then in 91, after co-anchor Deborah Norville decided not to return to the Today Show after she had a baby, the person that we're talking about here today was named her replacement. Covered some of the biggest stories of the day. She then moved to CBS, where she became the solo anchor of the evening news there, the first time a woman had ever been the solo anchor for a newscast. Do you know who it is yet?
I think
I heard Jess. Did Jess just shout
something? Jess might have the answer. What did you say, Jess?
She said Katie Couric.
Katie Couric would be correct, Jess.
Who she loves.
Jess wins.
Yeah.
We all love.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Katie Couric? She's delightful.
That's an amazing career path.
Right? Right? Exactly. Not to mention, she's done amazing work in the cancer field, putting her own colonoscopy on the air, which I tried to do once. When I went for colonoscopy and they were showing me the cameras and everything, I said, could I get a videotape of this? And they just gave me more gas and put me to sleep.
That's what they were doing outside the Tribune windows.
I think that would have been really fun to watch. I would have liked to have seen that. It is Katie Couric, who was born 67 years ago today in Arlington, Virginia, where it is cloudy and 37 degrees.
Well,
9:43, and this is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN in this segment. For many, many years, we've talked health and the latest health news, tried to arm you with some good information to keep yourself good and healthy. And continuing that tradition today is Dr. Emily Tuckman, who is a doctor of internal medicine, Northwestern's Glenview Outpatient Center. Dr. Tuckman, thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here with us. Now, Dr. Tuckman deals with healthy eating and all the things that so many people are concerned with in January, you know, because we overindulge around the holidays and we're determined we're going to get back in shape and eat better and exercise and all the things that sometimes fall off by the start of February. Before we get into all of that, though, and I do want to dig into that, one thing was of some concern I wanted to address. I was reading stories this week about how the COVID risk level has been going up, and there is an increase in hospitalizations, and that the spread of the virus is going up. What can you tell us about all of this? And, you know, what should we be doing? What kind of precautions? I know so many people who have, if not COVID, are coming down with respiratory viruses, you know, all kinds of things. People are getting sick lately.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, Chicago had been sitting in the low risk level category for basically the past year. And we unfortunately just crossed the threshold into the medium risk category. And I think, you know, for a lot of reasons, is the season. You know, viruses love this weather. We're coming out of the holiday season with lots of traveling, large gatherings. And a lot of people have vaccine fatigue and haven't gotten the COVID booster this fall. And then a lot of people also have mask fatigue and aren't masking up when they should. So it's kind of the perfect storm. So, you know, what does this tell us and what do I tell my patients? I think it really tells us that although 2023 really was a much more calm year for COVID compared to 21 and 22, COVID is still very much a serious threat. And it's really important to still get these COVID boosters as they come out. We don't want to end up back where we were.
Right.
And then I still encourage people to mask in crowded areas, especially my immunocompromised elderly and chronically ill patients.
Yeah, you said that the weather likes all of this. Does it thrive more in cold weather or, you know, certain climatological kind of conditions?
Yep, viruses love the cold weather, so that's why they kind of resurface every fall and winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So does the you know, going in and out of the cold into heated areas, often drier areas, does that contribute to it also?
As humans go in and out of colder?
Yeah.
Cold and warm areas?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. As people, you know, go outside in the cold weather, they're more exposed to viruses. But then again, when it's cold outside, people tend to huddle up inside. And so who knows which is worse, being in a crowded indoor area or being outside where these viruses are kind of thriving. So really the importance is masking because it's very hard to avoid.
Yeah. And common sense.
Really contagious.
Common sense, because in addition to COVID, right, there are all kinds of respiratory issues right now. You know, just a good old-fashioned cold. You know, some people are saying, I just have a good old-fashioned cold. It's not COVID. I tested negative, but I have a good old-fashioned cold. Well, nobody wants a good old-fashioned cold either, right?
Yeah, there's so much going around right now, and I can't tell you how many messages I get every single day from patients saying, I think I have a cold, or the COVID's not the only thing. I mean, we're seeing a lot of flu. We're seeing an uptick in RSV. And then just like you said, the common cold or rhinovirus or human metapneumovirus. There are so many viruses just kind of like circling around us right now. So
nobody wants any of that. So if you start to feel some symptoms, if you get sniffly, if you get a sore throat, if you begin coughing, I mean, what's the best thing to do? I'll go by what you know, my parents used to do: plenty of fluids, rest. Well, in my dad's case, you know, liberally applying the Vicks VapoRub. You know, like it was going out of style. Is that even effective, the Vicks VapoRub? My dad swore like it was a cure for everything. If you got a hangnail, he put Vicks VapoRub on your chest.
I mean, there's a placebo works, right? No, I think I don't know. I don't think it'll cure the virus, but hey, it can help your symptoms. But no, the thing to do, so I'm glad you brought this up because I get so many messages, patients saying, you know, they feel stuffy nose. They feel like they have, you know, under the weather. Can I have an antibiotic? Mm. You know, 90%, over 90% of what's going around right now is all these viruses that we mentioned. And antibiotics only attack bacteria. So I don't want to prescribe my patients antibiotics because, it's, you know, it goes against antibiotic stewardship and can lead to antimicrobial resistance. It really is, unfortunately, just waiting it out. I mean, for COVID, there's Paxlovid, and for flu, there's Tamiflu. But otherwise, for these common cold viruses, it's just a matter of time and supportive measures like over-the-counter, you know, Mucinex and Tylenol and things like that. There's no antiviral for a lot of these viruses.
Yeah, I nagged my doctor like crazy. I finally have stopped doing it, but back in the day, I used to nag him about getting the antibiotics so I could, you know, quickly get over whatever it was. And he just sat me down one day and explained, just as you have just done, that the antibiotics are only for bacteria. It's not for viral. So if you don't have something that's bacterial in nature, the antibiotics only lower your resistance to when you really need it later on. And boy, that really rung a bell for me. And so I've stopped nagging him about it. And if I should get something, knock on wood, I haven't for a long time because I try to be super careful. I just lay low for a little while. I just, you know, get in bed and drink fluids. And my doc also told me to gargle with salt water. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, salt can help to kill, you know, viruses and bacteria. So I think there is something to that. I don't know how much data there is behind it, but it certainly can't hurt and could potentially help.
Yeah. All right. Well, so everybody be careful is the bottom line, because numbers are definitely going up right now. Gyms are packed right now. Health clubs are packed right now with people, you know, trying to make amends for their overindulgence during the holidays. People are trying to eat a little better, a little more healthfully. What kinds of realistic issues are we looking at with the, you know, this post-holiday indulgence? Is it something which is a great threat to people's health?
Yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings on New Year's resolution goals. You know, I commend any efforts that people make to, you know, embrace a healthier lifestyle. The only types of New Year's resolutions that I caution folks against are really extreme goals, like, you know, completely cutting out carbs or going to the gym 7 days a week when they previously never worked out, because such drastic lifestyle changes are often not sustainable long term. And I see so often these cases that people swing the pendulum the other way. You know, they follow really restrictive diets, for example, for a month or so, and then because they've been restricting themselves so much, there's this rebound effect where then they eat really unhealthy and eat too much and they gain the weight back. The real goal is to create a diet and exercise routine that's both healthy, sustainable, and realistic long term.
What would that include? Just moderation in eating or eliminating certain kinds of foods for the long term?
Yeah, so I would say the vast majority of healthcare providers really endorse the Mediterranean diet, which is not so much a diet as it is a lifestyle. It's not restrictive, which most diets are. So the Mediterranean diet centers around eating mainly vegetables, fruits, fish, whole grains, beans, eggs, nuts, and only eating small amounts of things like processed foods, red meat, sugary drinks. Some of the main sources of fat in the Mediterranean diet are olive oil and nuts, which are unsaturated fat, which actually helps to lower the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. So, you know, for breakfast, things like Greek yogurt with berries or oatmeal with berries or an omelet with vegetables, and then, you know, lunch and dinner, things like whole grain sandwiches with veggies or salad with grilled chicken, quinoa, chickpeas, things like that.
I was told about an app that on and off, when I pay attention to it, I've had really good success, called MyFitnessPal, that basically counts calories and tells you, you put in what it is that you're eating, and it tells you how many carbs you've taken in, how many calories you've taken in, sodium. I mean, it really lays it out so you can kind of see where you are in the day of what you've eaten and, how much you have left as the day goes on. Do you like apps like that, programs like that?
Yeah, I do. I think those can be really, really helpful because people don't know. You know, they plug in a food or like a yogurt, for example, that they've been eating every single morning, and then they have to plug in the ingredients, and wow, they don't realize that the sugar content of that yogurt is 30% of the sugar content they should have in their entire day right there. So I do think it's helpful for, just educating patients. Calorie counting is, it can be difficult. It can be time consuming. Like, I'm not going to tell a single mom with a full-time job and three kids to start calorie counting. That's just really not attainable for many people.
I get it.
And then the other thing I caution against is people can get really, really kind of obsessive with it and counting and measuring food and getting down to every little tiny calorie. And that's can be a bit extreme. So in moderation, yes, and I do think it can be really helpful to provide patients with information about things they're eating that they didn't know.
What's your opinion about some of these popular weight loss medicines that people are clamoring for now, that I guess were diabetes medicines to bring the A1Cs down, but have been effective for some people in losing weight? The Ozempics, the Mounjaros, I mean, there are others. Do you think that is a good solution for some weight loss?
Yeah, I do a lot of weight management, and I prescribe these meds pretty frequently. They are very, very effective, but I kind of have, a very specific way that I do it. You know, when I put patients on these meds, non-diabetics, patients who are just solely wanting these meds for weight loss, when I put these patients on these meds, I do either in-person or video visits every single month to check in not only on how the medication is going, but making sure that they're not just relying on the medication for weight loss, that they're also putting in the work themselves. So healthy eating, exercise, things like that. I think there is a lot of utility for these medications. I had a patient who was in her early 40s and 300 pounds and couldn't get the weight off and was going to go have to get, bilateral knee replacements because of all the weight on her knee joints. And we got her on these meds, and she canceled her surgeries because she lost, 75 pounds in the course of a year and a half. And we got her off of her blood pressure medication, and her cholesterol is so much better. And, there are people who really, really struggle to lose weight. And for those folks, these medications can be very, very effective for their overall health.
Yeah, check with your own physicians about these to make sure that, if you are a candidate for it. Some really great information today, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Emily Tuckman is a doctor of internal medicine with Northwestern's Glenview Outpatient Center. Pleasure to talk to you. I hope we can do it again. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
You too. And we'll check news coming up next. Nice to have Kevin filling in for Shawnee today, and Mark Carmen filling in for Andy on the show today. What is the what's the latest with Bedsy? Producer Jack told me I should call him Bedsy if I wanted to sound like I'm in the know.
That's a big move by producer Jack.
Connor Bedard, the 18-year-old, whiz kid with the Blackhawks, has now suffered a broken jaw. Is that right?
Yeah, I watched the replay about 1,700 times now, Dean, and I guess you got to say what Brendan Smith did is certainly within the bounds of legal hockey play, but I also think that there's a reason why the Blackhawks immediately jumped in, and a little bit of a brawl ensued. But 4 to 6 weeks, which takes you right up to the All-Star game, and just a huge, huge blow. But, you know, you're always, I guess the way I look at it, it's like, well, he didn't tear up his knee. It's not. This is something that's just going to heal. So,
right.
You know, a little bump in the road here.
So he may or may not be in the All-Star game. We don't know yet.
Exactly.
Too early to tell.
But it's going to be interesting to see who they would put in the All-Star game, because every team has to send a representative.
Yeah.
Half the team, more than half the team right now on IR, so I don't know.
I like that I know his nickname now.
That is big.
Bedsy.
Bedsy.
Most mature human being of all time. You're 18.
He
you
is?
Sound like you're, yes, he sounds like he's 60. I mean, I don't know. He's like been in the league
like
for 10
wise,
years.
Wise beyond his years.
Yes, I don't. It's pretty unfathomable what everything that's going on with him.
Okay, Carmsy.
You got it, Deansy.
Wellsy.
My baseball coaches used to call me Wellsy. I like it.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Let's all have, for that. All have sportsy nicknames today.
It's such a hockey player thing, just to add a Y to the name.
Yeah.
But
producer Jaxie.
Heine.
Heine, did you say? Yeah.
That's okay. There it
is. I knew we were going to go one too far. Actor David Soul. Don't give up on us, babe. Who passed away this past, I think it was actually Tuesday. They didn't announce it until Thursday. Carm, do you have any idea? Normally on the show, I can depend on, you know, the old fogey Schwanee to remember stuff like this, along with me, because I do. But you may be too young to know who David Soul is, do you know?
It's not in my repertoire.
Not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm guessing I may be solo on the show knowing this one. David, do you know the TV show Starsky and Hutch?
I know of the TV show Starsky and Hutch, but that wasn't in the Rolodex either.
Yeah, that would be before your time. Understandable, because the show ran from, I think it was 1976 to like 79 or 80 something. It was one of the top cop shows that was on back then. They were Starsky and Hutch. David Soul played Hutch.
Okay.
And Paul Michael Glazer was Starsky, and they were two young, hip cops, you know, smart aleck, sarcastic. They drove, I'm not sure what kind of car it was, but it was the coolest muscle car ever. And they, you know, they'd drive around, you know, going crazy in their car. And I remember a character on the show named Huggy Bear, who was this kind of jive pimpy kind of character. He was an informant and would tell them stuff that was going on. It was a great show. I loved the show. And lots of people have memories of David Soul as Hutch. But that song that I just played was a number one song while this show was number one on the TV charts. He parlayed it into a number one hit song as well.
Well, back in those days, Dean, I was going Dukes of Hazzard, Good Times, maybe the Jeffersons, One Day at a Time.
Fine repertoire of television. Explains to us why you are the way you are today.
there's something in there.
I think if we look back at the shows that we liked as kids, we can learn a lot about ourselves of why we are the way we are. I wasn't too far off with those shows, the ones that you were watching. I was a big Miami Vice fan.
There you go.
For cop shows now, strictly cop shows.
Yeah.
I loved Miami Vice. I foolishly tried to dress like they did. I am praying that there are no pictures anywhere of me with a white suit on with, you know, the sleeves pushed up. Like they did. What other cop shows? Kevin, how about for you? Favorite?
Hill Street Blues?
Hill Street Blues was a favorite.
Yeah. Favorite cop shows?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking. Do you remember Starsky and Hutch, or also before your
time? It's before my time. Yeah. I do not know.
Yeah, that's okay.
If we're talking in terms
never
of cop
thought
shows.
I would miss Schwanee's Living in
I'm
the
sorry.
Past.
Man, yeah. I wish I.
We knew this was going to go south.
On the bright side, we haven't mentioned the Andy Griffith Show once on the show today, so that's a plus.
See, now I watched that. growing up. Did we could you, talk about that.
Really?
Yeah. Not a ton, but
not
it was
like
on
Shrawny
occasionally.
Could,
yeah.
Not like Shrawny could talk about it.
You know, that was his gift for the Secret Santa in the newsroom.
I say he wore the shirt last week, Mayberry Police shirt. He wore it last week. I'm sure he's going to wear it every week from now on. But anyway, what were your? You know what else I liked? NYPD Blue. I love that show. Detective Sipowicz, was that his name? Was it Dennis Franz? Or am I thinking of somebody else now? I can't remember.
I think it is Dennis Franz, but I'm not entirely certain.
Yeah, I like those. Anyway, I keep interrupting you, Kevin.
I don't know. I'm not a huge TV show person. I'm kind of addicted to just sports. It's kind of a bad habit. I don't know. That's kind of all I watch on TV. If I'm talking cop shows, it's very new. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I watch that all the time.
Excellent show.
Have you guys ever seen Live PD, like the channel that just carries
Real Police Encounters, you mean?
Yeah. We used to watch that in college all the time on Sunday mornings before Fox NFL kickoff. We'd wake up, just everybody feeling a little groggy that morning, a little bit of a headache, and we'd all pull up and just sit on the couches upstairs and watch Live PD. That was pretty fun.
And was it like that, what was that show, Bad Boys, where they, you know, it was allegedly like reality TV?
It
Cops was
like.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Cops, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
I used to love it because it made me feel superior to somebody.
People are texting me, Dean, Mod Squad.
Mod Squad. Awesome. Any recollection for either of you of those?
No. Nothing here. I'm currently looking up Miami Vice outfits.
That was like the first hip cop show, where it was cops who were, you know, back then those guys were not hippies exactly, but they were like counterculture cops.
There it is.
Like that. The Wire was fantastic. So some good stuff.
I have never watched The Wire, and I've been told to go through it now haven't done it.
Yeah. I've seen The Wire. I forgot all about The Wire. I loved The Wire.
Yeah, The Wire,
yeah, The Wire is fantastic.
Some good ones. Columbo.
Oh, there he is.
Columbo.
I feel really weird when I throw on a Columbo every now and then. They're making their way through Tubi. And I'm sitting there by myself watching Columbo in 2023. It's like, isn't there any better choice you could be making right now with your life? But I'm in
Carm,
there.
That is an awesome show. That's an awesome show. The great Peter Falk. It was amazing. Just one more thing. I just remembered one more thing I want to ask you that'll put you in jail for the rest of your life. I could go down this rabbit hole of some of the Barnaby Jones. I mean, I could really go back into some of those 70s cop shows that were.
Does Night Court count?
I love a Night Court. You know, have you seen this new Night Court that's on now?
I've seen the ads for it. I'm like, you're recreating Night Court, huh?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, same. I've only seen the ads for it. The woman who was on Big Bang Theory is the judge now. I forget her real name. But the guy, John Larroquette, who was on the original Night Court, he's back on the new one. And Marcia Warfield, who was one of the bailiffs, she's back on.
They don't look like they've aged either.
Mm.
Okay, maybe a little, but not terribly.
I'm going to say Mark needs to get over to Pearl Vision. needs to get that prescription checked. Let's talk some movies here. The big Golden Globe Awards are tonight. First big award ceremony of the season. Now, as always, I emphasize to you, I watch the award shows so you don't have to. Although it could be kind of entertaining tonight. Our pal Joe Coy is the host of the show. And he's not one of these attacky, you know, kind of hosts. I don't expect him to be doing a lot of the stuff that Ricky Gervais has done, or Amy Poehler, or Tina Fey, or some of the other hosts where they attack all the A-listers. I think it's going to be a kind of a different tone with him as the host of the show. So we'll look forward to that. As far as the actual nominees tonight, it's going to be kind of interesting to see what winds up winning. The nominees for Best Motion Picture Drama are Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, which was my favorite movie of the year last year, Past Lives, The Zone of Interest, and Anatomy of the Fall. I don't think that Maestro is going to wind up winning. I'm hearing a lot of polarizing response to that, even though I think it's absolutely beautiful. I don't think it's a big Hollywood favorite. What I do think are the two movies that are going to rise to the top here are Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon. That's the Martin Scorsese movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Lily Gladstone and Robert De Niro. Oppenheimer, of course, is the Christopher Nolan movie that stars Cillian Murphy. Both of them are fantastic movies, also great movies. If I'm going to make a prediction, I'm going to say Killers of the Flower Moon, so we'll see what winds up winning there. For Best Picture, Musical, or Comedy, the nominees are Barbie, Poor Things, American Fiction, The Holdovers, May December, or The Very Outstanding Air. That's the Michael Jordan movie that came out last spring. I think it's going to be between Barbie and Poor Things. Barbie is the most successful movie of 2023, took in more money than any other movie. And Poor Things is this incredibly eclectic, irreverent, often grotesque film that stars Emma Stone that is a little bit surreal. I will say, if they choose only on creativity, Poor Things is going to win, because it is something like you have never seen before, for better or for worse. But I think the battle there is going to be between Poor Things and Barbie. So, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. Anyway, I'm going to recap it all tomorrow morning on the WGN TV morning news. I'll recap it here on radio with Bob Surratt, my regular segment between 8 and 8:30. The other morning on our TV morning news, Robin Baumgarten, Larry Potash, and I talked with our old pal Joe Coy, getting ready to host the Golden Globes.
What's up, Dean? I haven't seen you in so long.
It's been, since you were at the United Center when us all away and surprising us with Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish walked out.
Yeah, crazy, crazy night. But is it any crazier for you than it is right now, Joe? Because normally when somebody hosts a big award show, they have months to plan. You just found out about this a couple of weeks ago, right?
Less than about 8 days ago. So everyone else gets 6 months to write write some sketches and a monologue. I got about 8 days, and it's been a crash course ever since.
Huh? Why do they have such trouble finding somebody who wants to do this? Is it the crowd? Not a friendly crowd?
No, it's not that. I think what happened is they switched. They didn't know where they were going to be. They just found out that they were going to be at, on CBS. So there was a lot of things that came into play, and, the opportunity came up and I grabbed it.
So how do you have to change what you normally do? I know you normally talk about your mom and your family. I mean, is this where you have to sit there and like, oh, now I have to tell a Brad Pitt joke? Or, I mean, how does that work? Right.
It is different. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's still, if you watch me live, it's, I get to do the crowd work. I still get to go in on the audience and, I still get to bring my flavor to the show. So, yeah, we are writing those jokes, but I still get to be me. And that's going to be fun.
That's awesome.
Are you going to have your mom and your son somewhere in the show? They have to be part of it all, right?
No, my son is. My son's definitely walking with me. He's going to be right next to me. And rightfully so. I've missed a lot of things when he was growing up. But he saw his dad chase his dream, and now he gets to share this moment with me.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I had read an interview that you did with Variety where you said it's important for you to do this also because of Asian representation. People watching the show, seeing somebody who looks like them hosting a major award show.
Yeah, when you see it, when you're a kid and you're a fan of TV and movie, it's like, what inspires you, right? It's like seeing somebody that looks like you doing what you dream to do. So I remember when I was a kid and enjoying watching every single award show with my family. But, you know, the host or whoever was hosting was, you know, didn't look like us. But I was still inspired because I wanted to be a comic. But I understand what that feels like to be able to see somebody and go, I could be that person because he did it. So, or she did it,
I know
that's what this means.
These award shows tend to be long. So at what part of the evening will you be thanking us for your success?
I guess I'll tug my ear for you guys.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yes.
This is so exciting, though. Hosting having your own sitcom, hosting an award show. These are the big things you dream of as a comic, right?
Had his own movie, everything. I mean, talk about your dreams come true. It's amazing for you.
Oh, it's nuts. I mean, look, my movie produced by, you know, Steven Spielberg himself. Like, right. You know what I mean? That's a dream. And I've yet to meet the guy. You know, I only know him through emails, like emailing back and forth with him. So, but you know what? Now I get to, I finally get to go up to him, shake his hand and take a picture. So I get to be in the room with him. And that's pretty cool.
So the Golden Globes have notoriously been a pretty biting night. Ricky Gervais or Tina Fey or Amy Poehler, you know, going after the people who are sitting right in the front. Are you going to do something? I can't imagine you doing something like that. You know, I just don't see you copying anybody.
No, it's fun though. It's all in good fun, and everyone did a great job at their position. But you know, this is my chance to do what I like to do, and yes, there are going to be opportunities where I do go in and poke a little fun. So,
and I've always
liked
to
feel the room, and I got to trust my gut.
It's a boozy night, isn't it? Isn't this where they're all drinking, too?
That's the one where everyone gets drunk, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
It's so good to talk to you.
And it's live, Dean, don't forget, it's live, which is even crazier. 52 countries, and it's live.
Wow.
Yo, talk about pressure.
Yeah, no, it'll be fine.
You'll be fine. I can't wait for the big Joe Coy musical number to start the show.
That's done. Well, you know, hey, Dean, you remember I produced Here Lies Love on Broadway. So that was kind of cool. I kind of stepped my foot in it. So I want to just keep going and just, you know, the sky's the limit. So I'm just going to keep going.
I'm so happy for you. Yeah. So well deserved. The Golden Globes are Sunday night on CBS and also on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, we're going to be covering it for you. I'll watch every single minute and report all the highlights to you on Bob Sarat Show tomorrow morning between 8 and 8:30 and then all morning long on the WGN TV Morning News. 37 is your time. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN and our Week in Theater segment. It's on the hour. Today we pay tribute to a stage legend, Glynis John. Also wanted to mention some of the shows that are still going on. And a lot of the holiday shows that open during the holidays, I guess I should phrase it that way, continue their run while the kids are still out of school. Almost everybody's back in school starting tomorrow. But shows like Hamilton, for example, is still going strong over at the Nederlander Theater. It's going to be playing until January the 28th. We did a segment on the TV Midday News on Friday with one of the ensemble members, Nick Sanchez, very talented singer and dancer. He's been with Hamilton for 5 years and has appeared in so many of the different roles. He's an understudy for the actor who plays Alexander Hamilton in the show. Super nice guy and an amazing cook. We did a cooking segment together. And he made Puerto Rican-style beef empanadas that were the most delicious empanadas that I have ever tasted in my life. He did an amazing job, showed me how to make them, and I can't wait to try it at home. But if you want to see that segment, if you go to WGNTV.com/midday, you can see Nick do this recipe. But some of the other shows that are still up and running include Beautiful, the Carole King musical. That's actually closing today at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is still running out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. One more week on that. We've got Northlight Theater's Dial M for Murder, the Hitchcock Mystery. It's at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. That's going to be closing today. So lots that has been running for a while that you may want to try to catch before it closes. But still, so much good is still to come. And some excellent opportunities for you to see it, see some of these shows that are coming in less expensively with Chicago Theater Week, which is going to be coming up pretty soon. Marissa Lynn Jones is the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters. Happy New Year to you, Marissa. Nice to talk to you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's good to be able to be on today and talk about Theater Week coming forward. We're very excited.
Yeah, explain what Chicago Theater Week is.
Chicago Theater Week is taking place in February, February 8th through 18th, and it's an opportunity for everyone to enjoy live theater on stage at accessible rates. And so you can get tickets for just $15 or $30 or less during that time with over 72 productions across the city and Chicagoland area.
Yeah, it's a really great deal. People love Theater Week. Not to mention that it's something to do in February, which is,
But, you know, we can't really complain right now, right? We got a little dusting of snow, but,
talk to me after this coming week. They're telling us that we're going to be getting some snow this week. But you know, it's normally, February is normally cabin fever time. So an opportunity to get out and see a show and to see it at a discount price is pretty great. And the reason that I wanted to bring this up now is because tickets for Theater Week go on sale this coming week, correct?
Yes. So Tuesday, January 9th, you have the opportunity to buy your tickets. It's a great time to, like you said, get out the house and get tickets for the entire family. So 10 a.m. on Tuesday, ChicagoTheaterWeek.com. You can get all of your tickets lined up, and we'll have Chicago Theater Week Bingo coming back this year, too.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
So you'll have an opportunity. We have at our Hot Ticks location and online, you'll have an opportunity to print a bingo card, and we're giving away prizes for people who get bingo for different types of shows or types of theaters that they go see throughout Chicago Theater Week. So a great experience to see as much theater as possible and check some things off your list and experience new places.
Yeah, there's always so much that's going on stage in the Chicago area. Are there certain shows that you're looking forward to that will be part of Theater Week?
Absolutely. I really enjoy making sure to see a little bit all over town. So at Antigone at Court Theater is going to be playing. And at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, we'll be having our kickoff for Chicago Theater Week on February 5th. And they'll be doing Richard III at Chicago Shakespeare. So I'm really excited to see their work. And we have so many across town. So La Pinche India with our Guion Theater. You have In the Heights playing. So really opportunities to see some storefront theater as well as some of those larger productions.
Yeah, where's In the Heights? Is that going to be at the Marriott?
Yes, so In the Heights is, I believe that's the Marriott Theater that's doing In the Heights. And then we have Teatros and Zanny downtown, dinner and a kind of circus show that you'll be able to see as well for some variety.
I went to Teatros and Zanny for New Year's Eve. I had seen the previous incarnations of Teatros and Zanny, and now it's a new cast, a new show, a little bit of a new concept. I had so much fun at the show.
It's a great time.
It is so much fun. First of all, it's dinner theater. So you sit down and you have a really nice dinner. There's several entrees from which to choose. But, you know, food aside, it is comedy. It is acrobatics. The band that they have is amazing. The singers that they have are amazing. The feet.
Yeah, so much of that raw talent, and that's right. What we appreciate during this time, really being able to support the individual artists as well that are on stage.
Yeah, I can't recommend this new production of Teatro Zanzani enough. It really was a fun way to ring in the new year, but what a great show. I think we have Jersey Boys coming back, don't we, also at the Mercury Theater?
Mercury Theater and also some great ones coming from our storefront spaces. So Trapdoor Theater has working a musical. We have the Second City is doing some shows as well. And then we got to make sure to support our university performances, so Theater School at DePaul and at Northwestern.
Right.
There's a lot. So great production.
There's a lot, and if you go to the website, you can get all the information on exactly what shows. But you know, keep in mind that tickets for all of this will go on sale on January 9th at 10 a.m. What's the website? One more time.
The website is ChicagoTheaterWeek.com, and theater is spelled R-E.
Okay. ChicagoTheaterWeek.com. All right. So, there's some good ways. What else are you looking forward to in this new year?
Oh, well, besides seeing all of these wonderful productions, the league will have a lot of programming coming forward. So we'll be participating with the membership in festivals throughout the year. We're bringing back our career fair for our professionals who want to learn all about theater, not just on stage, but in the background doing crew and lights and administration. So we're very excited for that. And then we'll have the National Theater Conference here this year as well.
Oh, okay. All right. So lots of things to report on in the coming weeks and months. It's always nice to talk to you. I hope you have a nice Sunday today, Marissa. Marissa Lynn Jones, Executive Director, League of Chicago Theaters. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I know I'll see you in the audience soon, so I hope to see everyone else, too. Thank you.
See you out in the crowd. Coming up in just a moment, we remember the amazing and legendary actress, Glynis Johns. Next, the great Glynis Johns and the one of the most classic motion pictures of all time, playing Winifred Banks in Mary Poppins. Glynis Johns passed away this past week at the age of 100 years old. God bless her for that. But this is one of her, you know, more memorable scenes, performing the song Sister Suffragette in the movie. But what a career Glynis Johns had. She received an Oscar nomination for her role playing the widowed saloon and hotel owner Mrs. Firth in The Sundowners. That was in 1960. As an actress and dancer and pianist and singer, she was also nominated for, won a Tony Award for her work in Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music. But I wanted to mention her Golden Globe nomination for her role in The Chapman Report. She had a short-lived CBS sitcom called Glynis, in which she played a mystery writer and amateur sleuth. Does that sound familiar? Like Murder, She Wrote? Yeah, sure does. And, for the pop culture fans out there, she was even featured on an episode of Batman. She played Lady Penelope Peasoup opposite Rudy Valley as Lord Marmaduke Fogg on the last season of ABC's Batman. But she, with that unique voice, just brought charm to every performance that she gave us. And very definitely one of those performances was when she sang the song Send in the Clowns from the Stephen Sondheim show A Little Night Music. It was a Tony Award-winning performance, as a matter of fact, as Desiree Armfelt, 1973. Many others would go on to sing Send in the Clowns, but none quite like the great Glynis John. There have been so many beautiful versions of that song through the years, but I can't think of any that are so soulful and just really touch your spirit as her version, the original version of Send in the Clowns from the Sondheim musical, A Little Night Music, a Tony Award-winning performance for Glynis Johns in that show, who passed away this week, I think it was Thursday, at age 100. So sounds like, from all I have read, life well lived. George Pinocchio, who is a pal and the entertainment reporter for the ABC station in Los Angeles, and of Chicago's very own, by the way, grew up on the southwest side of Chicago, but has lived in Los Angeles, reporting on entertainment for a long time, was close friends with Glynis Johns, and has said that she was in a nursing home the last portion of her life, but still had her spirit, and we thank her for her tremendous contribution. She is a legendary figure in entertainment. So, coming up after 11 o'clock, my one-on-one conversation with Daniel Levy. You know him if you enjoyed the hilarious and multi-Emmy award-winning comedy series Schitt's Creek. It was such a funny show. He and his real-life dad, Eugene Levy, produced the show. Catherine O'Hara, part of the show. It was just a quality show for the 7 years that it ran. Daniel Levy now is directing and writing and producing a brand new motion picture, which is on Netflix, called Good Grief, a story about losing your spouse and trying to get on with life. After that, we'll talk with Daniel about that coming up in a little while. I also wanted to mention to you a benefit that I will be participating in with my friend Paul Conrad, who you may also know from our WGN-TV morning news. Paul really has spearheaded this event called Achieving My Best Life, which is a benefit for family and friends of people living with autism or intellectual, cognitive, and or developmental disabilities. Achieving My Best Life is a not-for-profit organization that is working to provide access to independent living in charitable and benevolent purposes for people who are on the spectrum to gain, employment, to gain community access for people who are in need of it. And we're putting on this night. I'm going to be sort of the MC of the night, but really this is Paul Conrad's event, and I'm more than happy to help out. It'll be a night of some very interesting people talking about the goals of this organization to take it to the next level, to continue to help people who are living with autism and cognitive and developmental disabilities. But it'll also be a night of great food and entertainment. It's all going to be terrific, and it's all going to take place at the Morgan Arts Complex, which is in Bridgeport. If you'd like to get some information on this, I'm going to give you a website in a couple of minutes, because I can't find it right now in this press release, but I will find it, and I'll tell you how you can get some more information to join us this coming Tuesday night at the Morgan Arts Complex. So we'll talk more about that coming up in just a few minutes, sir. You guys are kind of a hit today on our text line. We've got Kevin Wells filling in for Dave Schwann today. Mark Carman is in for Andy Mazur. And the people on the text line loving you guys. There's one that says, Kevin Wells is super great. He's a mini Bertrand.
Oh.
Wow.
Is that good to be a mini Bertrand?
I'll take it.
Oh, come on.
Or does that mean because Bertrand is so tall that you're just shorter than he is? Is that what that means? No, I agree. Very witty, and you add a lot to the show. And then it says, and Mark always knows his stuff and has a great sense of humor, enjoying it all.
I'll set a check or something. Whatever.
Yeah, well, thank you to the text line. Very nice of you guys this morning.
Very nice. Yeah, no, there have been lots of comments. People enjoying the show today.
So. Carm, should I be shooting for someone higher than Mini Steve?
I mean, I didn't say that, but if you did, then that's, you know, interesting.
I think that's good.
Both Marquette guys.
I'm thinking about letting Schwanny and Andy go after this. See, they're just dead weight now.
Wally Pip, you're out of here.
Yep. It's a shame. It's a shame you take a day off and that's what happens. Let's see what else. We had lots of people responding to the cop show that we were talking about. David Soul Hutch from Starsky and Hutch passed away this past week. We were talking about our favorite cop shows. And the cool muscle car that Starsky and Hutch used to drive. A lot of people remembering that it was a Gran Torino. It was the coolest car ever and had these racing stripes on the side of it. And if you're my age, everybody wanted a car like that back then. It was like the super coolest muscle car that you could have. But people remembering their favorite cop shows, like someone said, don't forget Barney Miller.
That is a classic. Not that I've ever watched it, but I remember the open. Just the look of the dude.
That's a classic, but...
I mean, come on. Don't you, like, instantly see Barney Miller in your head when
that music. I watched... one of the characters on that show was Fish, actor Abe Vigoda, who was... They spun him off onto his own show, which maybe was the worst television show of every television show ever. It's a horrible show. They did a marathon on some station last week. But anyway, TJ Hooker was remembered. If any of these ring a bell, do you remember that? With What's his name?
Exactly him. Another one I remember well, but never watched.
TJ Hooker. Wasn't that who's Captain Kirk on Bill Shatner, William Shatner? Wasn't he T.J. Hooker? Am I remembering?
Adrian Zmed? Is that right?
Adrian Zmed was on the show. Chicago actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have confirmation on that. Yeah, William Shatner. Yeah. Ron Brown, another well-esteemed...
Thank goodness somebody else old showed up today.
Heather Locklear
Sorry,
was on
Ron.
The show?
Wow. Sorry, Ron. Jeez. Sorry, somebody my age showed up. Reno 911... Maybe one of the funniest shows that's ever been made. I guess we could call that a talk show, or a cop show, rather. Someone said, The A-Team, You Fool.
Oh, my God.
I pity the fool that don't watch The A-Team.
Hannibal, come on. That's a great one.
Love that. Mannix, Kojak.
Kojak.
I know Ron remembers those.
Which one should I go home and watch? There's so many here. Gotta make a list.
I don't even know where you start with this, but Kojak was the great Telly Savalas, who his trademark was eating a Tootsie Pop. He was like a tough cop who always had a Tootsie Pop lollipop in his mouth.
Does L.A. Law count? I'm assuming it doesn't, but I loved L.A. Law.
Yeah, that's kind of a lawyer show, but yeah, I guess so. Beretta with Robert Blake. That was a classic. Cagney and Lacey, did we say that one?
Oh, we didn't.
That was... what's the haw? What's
that? I mean, that's just another level when you bust out a Cagney and Lacey out of nowhere.
Hill Street Blues. What else here? Yeah, we tapped into something here with the cop show thing, for sure. Here's one from the 708 area code. I think it's great to get Mark Carman in. As I usually hear him with Northwestern football.
That is a WGN diehard right there.
Yeah. It is nice to have Mark Harmon here. Been too long.
Thanks, Dean. Good to be here.
I'm going to, when we let Andy go, I'm going to suggest Andy's home right now calling Dave Ennett just to make sure his job is safe.
It is 11:15.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. So glad you're here with us today. We'll keep you posted on the weather because we're right in the middle of a little bit of a lull between yesterday's snow and snow that we are expecting to come in tomorrow, and the bottom really to fall out over the next couple of days with more snow and wind and cold coming in. We'll get you some updates on that from our WGN weather department coming up a little bit later on. We've got more of our regular features here this morning, including our A-list interviews with actor Daniel Levy in just a bit. And then we've got plenty of sports action for you today. Let me bring in Mark Harmon to bring us up to date, because this is tricky. It's tricky to follow the schedule today.
I think I've got it down here, Dean. We've got Hamp and OB coming up at 12:30 for the pregame show. Bears-Packers kick off at 3:25.
And we expect both Hamp and OB to be super cheery today especially, right?
Yes, there's no doubt that OB is geared up for this Packers game and fired up to wait around till, I believe, 9 o'clock when the post game show starts.
because we have a lot of other stuff in the middle.
We do. We have our phenomenal Blackhawks team getting ready to go. 1:30 pregame with Joe Brand, John and Troy at 2 o'clock. Blackhawks and the Flames, and then there's actually a little interlude there with I believe Andy and Joe will carry you through after the Blackhawks up until Dave Ennett starts his pregame show at 6:15. Tim and Billy McKinney on the call, Northwestern and Michigan State, home game for the Cats tonight. And then after that, 9 o'clock, wrap up the day with OB and Hamp. They'll have plenty of time to digest what happened with the Bears and Packers today.
not to mention that they've been sitting around all day waiting to do the show, which will make them extra happy and cheery no matter what happens with the Packers game.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
He's forever my hero. Just a great
movie. I'm with you 10,000% on that. I love that, man. So anyway, they're coming up here at 12:30 with their pregame show. Before our sports-a-rama continues throughout the day today. So we'll look forward to that. I am, every time I hear this story, Kevin, that you've been reporting about this airplane that was a door that blew out of the airplane, right?
It looks like one of the, and I'm not exactly sure if it's the door or a window, but a whole chunk of a plane. So imagine you're sitting, it's the aisle.
Yeah.
Or you're just sitting in a row of seats. It's the whole like section of the plane. The entire wall kind of blows entirely
out. Yeah, you don't want to see that while you're enjoying your pretzels.
Think of a few other things I'd probably want to happen first.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how terrifying to have something like that happen. I was listening to some of the aviation experts talking about this, and I guess on some of those planes, there is a configuration where there has to be a certain number of emergency exits on a plane based on the amount of seating. If for this particular plane, there was less seating than what was required to have an extra emergency exit, so they just paneled over where this emergency exit would have been had it been an exit, but it was just paneled over, and then for some reason it blew out. I guess we don't really know why. Thank goodness no one was hurt, but how terrifying is that? You're sitting on a plane on a flight and something like that happens, and then it continues for a while. It blows out And, you know, then people are just taking videos of being on this flight with a giant hole in the side of the plane.
And we had one of the passengers talk to News Nation. I'm reading it right now. Passenger Evan Smith said a boy and his mother were sitting in the row where the window blew out, and the child's shirt was sucked off of him and out of the plane.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I didn't hear that.
That's insane.
I mean, I wouldn't even know how. You would just be in total shock for hours after that. Yeah, everybody got off the plane. They landed it. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't at, you know, 30,000 feet. It wasn't at the cruising altitude yet. And I think that that's what the initial investigation was saying. Like, thank God it wasn't that high up. Or, yeah. I mean, this would have been
imagine
an American tragedy. Yeah.
I wonder if when people were getting off the plane, the flight attendants were going, thank you, have a nice day. Thanks for you know how they do when you leave a plane? Thanks for flying with us.
Have you ever flown Spirit, Dean?
I have. I did a couple of times.
There's a funny one going through the social media world that they're announcing on there that, hey, you know, we have some turbulence ahead. If you want to go around the turbulence, it'll be $58. And if you want to go through...
Oh, my God.
Or if you want to go through, we can do. We got you.
Keep the discount price that way. Have you ever been on a flight where something kind of traumatic happens?
I haven't, thankfully.
No, I've been lucky enough to avoid all of that. I was on a Spirit flight one time where flying through the mountains and the turbulence was just pretty unbearable. Yeah. But
when the turbulence, like serious turbulence hits, it gets a little scary. It's definitely terrifying.
You actually made me think of, there was an Eastern flight way back in the day where we're coming back from a family trip, and my dad is famously can sleep in anything, and he's dead asleep, and we're bouncing up and down. I'm terrified, so is my brother. And it's like, well, we know there's real problems if that dude wakes up, and he never did. So we got
dad,
through it.
Dad slept through the whole thing?
No, he was just being rocked to sleep.
Very comforting to him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Here's what I do when the turbulence starts getting crazy. I look for the flight attendants. If they're scared, then I'm going to be scared. But almost always, they're just serving beverages. It's no big deal to them. So I figured, well, I mean, if they're comfortable, I guess I am too.
So what you're saying is Carm's dad should have been a flight attendant.
He should have been a flight attendant.
It's a good strategy, by the way. You're all right, cool.
I have been, I'm not flying as much these days as I did earlier, you know, past few years. But I've been on some flights where lightning has hit the plane. That's pretty terrifying when the lightning hits the plane. Because there's an explosion. And again, that's something you don't want to hear when you're on a flight. Explosions are never something. There's not enough noise canceling in your headphones ever to block out the sound of lightning hitting your plane.
I was going to say, how loud is that?
Really loud. It's really loud. And you see, like, explosion. You see, you know, something happening. So I see it happening, and I go do my go-to. Where's the flight attendant? How are they reacting? And they're serving food. It was like nothing. So I ring my bell. You know, I do the flight until they come over, and I said, I'm a little concerned about the giant explosion that I just heard, and that big flash of light that it was just right outside the plane on the wing. That was just some lightning hitting the plane. It's
no big deal. You'll be all right. It's just fine. Never mind that. Pull back the curtain. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's not something. Would you like some extra pretzels, sir? And I will do anything for extra pretzels, by the way. Somebody on our text line, 630, a compelling reason for keeping your seatbelt on at all times. Absolutely. I keep my seatbelt on all the time when I'm on a plane.
Yeah, I really... come to think of it, I don't know why you'd really take it off. I don't know. There's no reason to, unless you're, I mean, you're getting up to go to the bathroom. That's about it.
Are you a shoe on or shoe off?
Oh, definitely shoe
on. Come on. Who takes their, you take your shoes off on the plane? I've seen it a couple times.
Shocked at the number of people who think they are in their own, not only their house, like they're in their,
straight to jail,
their bathrooms or something. They're in this, and in the summertime, it's worse because, often, and people are barefoot, walking around that dirty playing with, like, on, you know, and they walk into the restroom barefoot. They're walking into there barefoot.
That's where I draw the line. But if you have good shoe maintenance, you're allowed, depending on the length of the flight. If you're in, like, the corner window seat and you're not, you know, not sticking it in the aisle, I'm okay.
You're with the shoe off?
Yes. You just got to know if you're letting anything out in the air. If you're not, okay. All right, buddy.
So if your feet smell good,
yes,
you're
correct.
Clear.
If you've showered and you've maintained general hygiene, I'm okay with it.
After walking a mile to get to your plane
in
through
the airport,
O'Hare,
yeah.
Can take your shoes off. Okay.
Well, most likely you shuffled through the line. You haven't broken a sweat doing this, I would hope. But maybe
they should offer some complimentary foot powder when you get in the plane. Sir, would you like some pretzels, a soft drink, and some foot powder? A little foot spray?
Sir, you have not passed.
And for you, it's mandatory, sir. You're going to need to put some of that
on. I will loosen my shoe. But part of it is I don't want my sock. I would never go barefoot ever on an airplane. But I'll loosen my shoe just, you know, to be a little more comfortable on a long flight. But I never go full stockings on the plane. That's my one rule, and I never recline my seat.
Any popularity I gained this morning is out, but now I might have to think about just going the loosening, listening to you, Dean. That's a nicer, friendlier.
Just a little, you know, or like you pull your heel out of the shoe, but you keep your...
Now just go all the way.
Now you may as well...
Are you getting crushed on the text line, Carm?
I don't know. I know there's people who have strong reactions to this.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have, like, if you're next to someone who you're with, and you're, it's not a rando situation, I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose.
815 area code says, Carm, you need sock maintenance. Not sure what that means.
Can't have a hole in the heel of your sock.
That's true too. You got to have a good
gross.
Sock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
The breathable socks.
I just don't want all the cooties from the plane on my socks. I don't know whose nasty feet were there before me.
Don't think about that stuff.
The worst is taking your shoes off before going through security, says the 847 area code. There have been a few times I forgot to wear shoes that require socks. And then I figured I'd get out of it with global access and to go through the TSA. Yeah, but sometimes you still have to take your shoes off, even if you're TSA, even if you're global access. You know, sometimes you get randomly chosen.
How do we not have technology that doesn't know there's something wrong in your shoe? Like we can't walk through on shoes? Come on, man.
Maybe it's just the power they like to hold. Like, yeah, you're taking your shoes off.
Watch what I'm going to do to this guy.
Yes.
I'm going to
make
him.
That's a huge machine.
Watch that guy. See that guy? I'm going to make him take his belt off.
The last time I went through, I got the full frisk. And when I say full, it was full.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. I mean, would you like to do this in private or right here? I'd like to do it right here, sir. We're not going anywhere in private. Are you nuts?
Did he buy you a drink first or anything?
Yeah, where's private? Where's?
Oh, they have that little cubicle off to the side.
That should have been offered.
With the soft music playing.
Can I get you a martini? How about an old-fashioned? I'm in for the old-fashioned, sir. Great, let's go.
Okay, thank you for the security check. Would you like a cigarette before you go? What a nice smoke. Let me see here. Oh, here, yeah, see, I'm going to get into the recline argument with people. If the 773 air code, if the seats on the plane are made to recline, you're entitled to recline. I disagree. I think it's so rude to whoever's behind you.
100%. Can't recline.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm the problem. I've reclined a few times. Because it only goes like, I don't know.
But whoever's behind you, a
couple degrees,
that loses so much of what little space they have behind you. That's the thing. I don't like when someone reclines in front of me. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, I guess. When somebody reclines in front of me and now suddenly I have no space anymore because, you know, they want to be in recline position. I know, I guess if the seats are meant to recline, you're entitled to do it. I just don't think it's a polite thing to do to... other people.
Sometimes the seats are comfortable enough where you don't need to. You know, you're flying Spirit. I don't even think those seats do recline.
Yeah. It's a good move by Spirit. You got to ask if you're going recline. You got to look around. You got to beg almost. And
sitting on a piece of wood with leather covering it.
Aren't the seats there like swings on a playground? Isn't it just a leather strap on chains?
For the record, I like Spirit. They're very direct. You want a water? It's $6. That's it, buddy. I mean, yes or no?
They charge you for water on Spirit?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
They don't give you anything. But you know that going in. That's why you get the fare.
Well, as long as they're upfront about it.
All right. Well, welcome to Shoe Talk, the new segment on our show here. We'll continue and take a quick break and update the news. If there is any breaking shoe news that happens this morning, we'll break right in with an update. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Golden Globe Sunday. I know a lot of you can't stand the award shows, but you're interested in who wins. You just don't want to sit through 3 or 4 hours, of it all. I will have the full recap for you tomorrow morning, both on my segment that I do Monday through Friday with Bob Surratt between 8 and 8:30, and, of course, on the WGN-TV morning news. I'll show you the highlights. I think it could be an entertaining show tonight. Our pal Joe Coy is the host, a very different kind of host for an award show, so we'll see what Joe brings to it all. As far as, the movies, Golden Globes are movies and television, so, the best of the best here. I mentioned earlier some of my predictions. I think it'll be either Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon for Best Motion Picture Drama. I think Killers of the Flower Moon, the Martin Scorsese movies, could wind up being the winner. I think for Best Picture Comedy or Musical, Barbie has been such a juggernaut this year that I think that has a pretty good chance of taking the honors there. This weird Emma Stone movie is it is one of the weirdest things you'll ever see, I promise you, in a movie. It's weird, it's irreverent, it's grotesque at times, it's super, super sexual, very, very hard R-rated. But I will say, if you want creativity in a movie, there has never been a movie like this before. So if they're voting based on that, Poor Things could wind up being a winner on that account. Let me see. We've got for the television nominations, Best TV Series Drama, 1923 is nominated, The Crown, The Diplomat, The Last of Us, The Morning Show, and Succession. And I don't know. I think maybe The Crown might be the winner in that. Well, Succession, I don't know. Yeah, I'm thinking Succession, maybe.
That was a great one. Loved Succession.
Good series.
Yeah, it was really good.
Best TV series, musical or comedy. Naturally, Ted Lasso is nominated. Abbott Elementary, Jury Duty, Only Murders in the Building, which is great. Barry on HBO, and The Bear. Experts are predicting that The Bear is going to be wind up being the winner in that category. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. I'll have all of the winners. I'll have all the quirky moments, embarrassing moments. This is the award show, traditionally where everybody gets drunk. So it's a pretty unpredictable kind of thing that could happen on the Golden Globes. And this year, for the first time, it's on CBS. Normally, it's been on NBC. Don't know why they changed, but they did. So if you're looking for it, CBS or Paramount Plus, or if you're trying to avoid it, as I say, I'll have all the highlights for you tomorrow morning. The box office numbers are starting to come out, and Willy Wonka is once again the number one movie. That's maybe one of the best movies out there right now. I really, really liked the movie Wonka with Timothy Chalamet. It's a perfect family movie. It's beautifully made, phenomenally acted. It's a very beautiful movie. It's the, you know, the prequel, the origin story of how Willy Wonka got to be the way he is. So there's a lot of familiarity. If you grew up with the Gene Wilder version of the movie, you'll be able to kind of, you know, see, oh, that's how that happened, and that's how that happened. Hugh Grant playing an Oompa Loompa in this movie is almost scene-stealing every time he's on screen. He's hilarious, so lots of reasons to love that. And apparently all over the world, people are loving it. It's the number one movie all over America. After Wonka at the box office this weekend, the number two movie is Night Swim, which is a horror movie. Interestingly, they've been releasing a lot of horror movies for the holidays lately, and they do really well at the box office. People apparently this time of year love going to see horror movies. I don't understand why exactly. After that, it appears to be Migration, the animated film coming in at number three. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, that started off strong, has been kind of petering out. This week falls down to the number three spot. And then after that, it is the George Clooney-directed Boys in the Boat, coming in the number five spot. And The Color Purple, which also started off kind of strong, is also fading a little more quickly than I think anyone thought it was going to. Came in number six at the box office this weekend, which I also thought was really good. Also really enjoyed it. But very interesting, this phenomena of horror movies at the holidays. Some people just want, you know, that kind of diversion, I guess. Very interesting. We'll see how things shake out for the Golden Globes. Recap it all for you tomorrow, both on TV and radio. And when we come back from the break, let me get to my A-list interview for this week. Daniel Levy, who you may know from the TV series Schitt's Creek, has a brand new movie out. Tell you all about it and share my A-list interview with him coming up next. Right, got almost a full show today. We haven't had one of those in a long time. Getting ready for Hamp, and it'll be at 12:30. So we've got many more of our regular features, including our A-list interview in just a moment. Oh, I was talking about this benefit that I'll be part of with my pal Paul Conrad from the WGN-TV Morning News. It's a benefit for achieving my best life, not for profit, which is benefits independent living for people with autism, for people with intellectual, cognitive, or developmental disabilities. It's all going to take place at Bridgeport's Morgan Arts Complex, which is 3622 South Morgan. It'll be Tuesday night. It's coming Tuesday night from 7 to 10. And really, this whole thing is spearheaded by Paul, who, with friends and family, have been working to make lives better for people with, the autism, intellectual, cognitive, or developmental disabilities. This is meant to provide access to independent living, for employment opportunities, for community access, for people with some of these challenges. And it's going to be an evening of people who are very, very much involved in this, talking about it and raising awareness about it, but also an evening of some great food from Michael Bonner, formerly of Let Us Entertain You, and now he has his own catering company, CMB Catering Company. Dulce Trattoria and Bakery providing foods. There'll be live music being part of all of this. And as I had mentioned, it is this coming Tuesday night from 7 to 10. I will be the MC for the event. But Paul will, be speaking from the heart on all of this. He's very, very involved. It is $40 to attend. For kids under 16, $15. and it's free for any family member who is living with autism. If you want to get information on this, if you want to buy tickets for this, and I hope you can join us, if you go to eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com, and then when you go to that page, there's a big search bar. Just type in Paul Conrad, and it'll take you right to the page with all the information about the event and how to purchase tickets and all of that. So we hope to see you this coming Tuesday night at the Morgan Arts Complex in Bridgeport, 3622 South Morgan, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Okay? So we'll see you then for that. Got a text from Jeff Hoover from our WGN-TV morning news. And he tells me that Jim Gaffigan is going to be one of the presenters at the Golden Globes tonight. So there's another reason that at least I'll be looking forward to it. I know a lot of you don't like watching award shows, but if you're a fan of Jim Gaffigan, I'm sure he will be hilariously funny. Some of the other presenters, they did send me a list, and I just had it up on the computer here, and I just closed it. So allow me this 1 second to type this in. Here we go. Golden Globe presenters will include, besides Gaffigan, Ben Affleck, Jodie Foster, John Batiste, Kerry Russell, Kevin Costner, Kristen Wiig, Mark Hamill, Matt Damon, Naomi Watts, Orlando Bloom, Ray Romano, Annette Bening, Don Cheadle, Dua Lipa, Andra Day is a list of some of the presenters that have just been announced who will be part of it all. So, as I say, Golden Globes tonight on CBS. We'll have the full recap on that for tomorrow. I wanted to get into our A-list interview for today. One of my favorite series of the past several years has been Schitt's Creek. Started off as kind of a small series on Canadian television because it was produced by Canadians, Eugene Levy, who you know from SCTV, and his longtime cohort, Catherine O'Hara, who is also, you know, from SCTV, but was also genius on the show. A show that was put together by them and also Eugene Levy's real-life son, Daniel Levy, who, now that the show has ended, Daniel Levy is breaking out into some other avenues, including producing, writing, directing, and starring in a new movie, which is on Netflix now, that's called Good Grief. It's a story about a man whose husband suddenly dies, and he is left with the grief of losing a spouse and trying to deal with this, you know, sudden loss. He invites two of his friends to join him to go to live in Paris for a little while to kind of get away from it all, to try to just find some happiness in this time following the death of his spouse. And it's a movie about loss, and it's a movie about recovering from that, but it's also a movie about friendship and the expectations of friendship and the things that you are sometimes surprised to find when you really look within yourself during these traumatic times. In L.A. recently, I sat down and talked not only with Daniel, but also his two friends played in the movie by Ruth Negga and Hamish Patel.
Well, I feel like I wanted to tell a story about the significance of friendship. And so the grief really acts as a catalyst to crack open the dynamic of these three friends and force them to kind of confront truths about each other. And you know, I think they'd been making so many excuses for each other's behavior, and there was so much that was unspoken, and it took the death to really force them to be honest with each other in an attempt to invest in the long term, I think, of the friendship, which feels to me like a lot of conversations I'm having with friends now as an adult. It's a very different relationship that you have with your friends as an adult as opposed to when you were in your 20s. So I think knowing that I wanted the movie to really be about friendship, the grief was something that is there, but it gives way to a story ultimately about comfort.
Yeah. And Ruth, I also thought like self-discovery. Like each of the characters in the movie learned something about themselves, grew through this experience. Did you feel that way also?
Yeah. And I think, as Dan said, I think that a grief is the lens through which this trio can sort of, confront their own. I suppose that age that you get to when you are sort of having to grow up, really, and figure out how you're going to move through sort of the more mature part of your life, and who's coming with you, and who do you want to take, and how are you going to negotiate how you evolve with your friends and your allies. And that's not always easy, and it can be as complex and rocky as an actual romantic relationship. Yeah. But it also can... Our relationships are mirrors to ourselves, really, aren't they? And I think that's what... these three have is a bond that they will be each other's mirrors and stick with each other through maybe the difficulties that sort of presents when you really see yourself as you really are, which is difficult sometimes to accept.
Right. Himesh, first of all, that's the most incredible suit that I have ever seen on it.
What a dashing hunk of a person.
That is. When you walk down the hall, I almost...
From the hall, no less.
I didn't want to be a fanboy in the hall. I was like, oh, my God, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Appreciate that.
Talk to me a little about the locations for this. Yeah. I mean, the locations really are characters in this movie, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, Dan's got such a great sense of setting and made all of those places look gorgeous alongside Ula, our DOP. But they all had a character that I think really just added layers to the story in a way that I've not really encountered before, you know? I felt at home in every single space that we were in. I don't know how you felt, but it just felt like we...
Yeah, because we were staying in a really nice hotel.
yeah, that bit. I mean,
have to be in Paris, poor us.
Ruth has fallen asleep on every couch in every set of this movie. Any setting, Ruth has fallen asleep on the couch.
Isn't that a great nap for Rock and I?
I have fallen asleep.
That really should be on the movie
poster.
We
both fell asleep on that sofa in the apartment.
That couch in the Paris apartment couch was far softer than it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The photos I have of these two napping for a week.
It was fascinating.
At lunchtime.
Yeah. The sort of spaces that we got to be in, like that apartment, for example, which...
Unreal.
We maybe got an idea of whose apartment it was, but we weren't quite sure, because obviously they stripped the whole place out. And it's, But then, you know, getting to shoot there on the Ferris wheel was such a special moment, though also then became very stressful at the last minute. Yeah. But it was gorgeous and... It just what I love about doing this job is when you find yourself in these places where you go, I wouldn't ever be in this space were it not for doing this and telling this story.
Yeah. She's waving me off, but I have to ask because so many people love Schitt's Creek.
Is there a movie coming?
Is there a movie coming? Right. Is there a sequel? Is there a prequel? I want whatever they've done to Willy Wonka, I want you guys to do to Schitt's
Creek. Oh, gosh. Well, Willy Wonka took, what, 60 years to make another one?
I don't know if I can wait that long.
Listen, when the idea comes to me that allows me to tell a story that moves what we've already done forward, then absolutely. Until I have that idea... I feel very proud of what we've done, and I think part of why people want more is because we've left them wanting a little bit more. We're in a culture of overindulging people. Yeah. I love the idea of just leaving people wanting a little bit more because it gets people coming back. You don't want to overstay your welcome.
Yeah, the movie is called Good Grief. It's on Netflix now. Coming up after our 12 o'clock news, we'll be taking a little deeper dive into what kind of weather we have coming into the Chicago area over the next few weeks.
Questions about your home, from the top to the bottom, anything in between. All you have to do is call me. House Smarts Radio is live every Saturday morning from 6 to 10 a.m. right here on 720. Chicago. A Nexstar Media Group station.
33 degrees right now with cloudy skies at 12 noon. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Wells. The news is sponsored by Cars for Kids. We're done with round one of snow, but two more rounds, maybe three, will happen this week.
We are coming up on 3 hours to kick off Bears Packers. It doesn't get any better.
Let's get out to the roads now with WGN traffic. Lots of accidents to report. Three alone on the Eisenhower. We'll start accident on the entrance ramp inbound from St. Charles. One in the inbound off-ramp to the Dan Ryan. And an accident on the exit ramp to the off-bound Ryan. So two accidents there. It's a 30-minute trip from Route 390 to the old post office. No delays on the Edens nor the Kennedy. An accident on the entrance ramp on the Ryan to the Skyway to I-90 there. Another accident on the Ryan outbound at near 18th Street. Again, a lot of these single-vehicle accidents just due to the road conditions. DuSable Lakeshore Drive a little slow southbound. Hollywood to Monroe about 25 minutes. An accident reported southbound at Chicago Avenue. Several rounds of snow and cold are headed to the Chicago area. A first round of winter weather is expected to come in late Monday night and into Tuesday morning. Rush hour, then the snow will return Tuesday afternoon and could spill into Wednesday. The second storm arrives later Friday into Saturday.
The second system that arrives Friday, Saturday, that is going to fall in a far colder environment. And there is little doubt that the precipitation form will be snow. And it's going to fall, occur with some wind. And as that system pulls through here, it's going to drag down the coldest air of the season.
That's WGN weather producer Bill Snyder. There was 2.6 inches of snow at O'Hare yesterday. That was the biggest calendar day of snow in almost a year in Chicago. Elizabeth Lee was among the 171 passengers and six crew members on board that Alaskan Airlines flight number 1282 when a window section of the Boeing 737 MAX plane blew out mid-flight. She told News Nation about what she experienced.
We were on the plane about 20 minutes into the flight, and all of a sudden I heard like a boom. I looked to my side, and the whole piece of the wall of the plane just is completely off, and the wind is blowing. It's super loud.
And the cause of the incident still under investigation today. As a precaution, the FAA has temporarily grounded some of those planes of the same type being used by U.S.-based airlines. Again, some of those still grounded today. United Airlines has taken another step towards a potential move of its headquarters from Chicago to Denver. The airline has 5,000 corporate workers in Chicago, most based in the Willis Tower downtown. The airline purchased, though, more than 100 acres near the Denver airport this past summer, and a new filing with the city of Denver says United plans to use that site to expand its pilot training operation and potentially employ 5,000 corporate employees. Former President Donald Trump submitted his ballot paperwork to the Illinois State Board of Elections last week, and this year he opted out of signing the loyalty oath. Trump signed the oath when he ran in 2016 and 2020. The loyalty oath is an optional document candidates in Illinois can file in which they swear not to teach or advocate for overthrowing the government. Candidate Ron DeSantis and President Biden signed it this year, but Republican candidates Nikki Haley and Chris Christie did not. The GOP presidential candidates are campaigning right now in Iowa. The Iowa caucus is less than 10 days away. News Nation's Kelly Meyer reports.
Trump's top rivals, like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, taking digs at the former president for his comments about the recent school shooting in Perry, Iowa, saying it was terrible and, quote, we have to get over it.
I wouldn't tell them that they should just get over it because it's tough.
Trump attacking both DeSantis and his former U.N. ambassador, Nikki Haley.
Ivanka just wanted to help people get jobs. I said, I'll put you in the United Nations, and you'll be ambassador, and you will be better than anybody that's ever been there, 10 times better than Nikki Haley was.
Haley then responded by saying Trump has a temper tantrum about her every day. during the campaign. President Biden will give his State of the Union address on March 7th. The formal invitation was sent to the White House by Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, who said he was inviting the president in this moment of great challenge for our country. And, quote, the address will come after a pair of critical deadlines to avert a government shutdown. WGN Sports Time now, 12:05.
They were shoveling snow off the stands, and there was a tarp on the field, but getting ready for football up in Green Bay. Big day for the Bears with lots of decisions coming up. Justin Fields looking to play big today. Matt Eberflus, Luke Getsy also under the microscope as the NFL regular season comes to an end tonight. Yesterday, the Steelers beat the Ravens 17-10. Pittsburgh needs help today to get in as the games get going. Right now, into the playoffs are the Houston Texans, who beat the Colts 23-19 in a winner-take-all playoff battle. Bunch of sports coming up on 720 WGN today. First, we've got hockey. Blackhawks at Flames at 1:30. Of course, no Connor Bedard, out 4 to 6 weeks with the broken jaw. Joe Brand's got your pregame show. 2 o'clock, the puck drop with John and Troy. And then Northwestern basketball tonight at 6:30. Cats and Michigan State. Going on right now is Michigan and Penn State. 37-27, Michigan on top at the half. I'm Mark Carmen, WGN Sports.
Temperatures about mid-30s for today, and then tonight, cloudy skies and a few flurries are possible. Overnight lows settling down towards 31 in the city and some upper 20s out in the far northwestern portions of Chicagoland. For tomorrow, cloudy skies and then some rain and snow developing as we get late in the day and the early evening hours. High temperature for tomorrow, about 38. From the WGN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tim Joyce.
Temperatures in the low 30s across our entire listening area. 33 out in Valparaiso, 32 in Lansing, 35 along Chicago's lakefront, 33 degrees at O'Hare. I'm Kevin Wells, WGN News. Next news when it happens. Next scheduled news at 12:30 on Hamp and OB.
All right, tell me what you think of this menu this coming Wednesday on my TV cooking segment. I'm trying to do some things that are like comfort food, you know, for like chilly weather kind of offerings. We got a cold day like we have today. By Wednesday, we will have had snow, you know, and all that. So what I'm gonna make is a homemade sun-dried tomato soup, homemade, like from scratch, homemade.
That sounds delicious.
With my favorite kind of grilled cheese sandwich, French onion grilled cheese sandwich.
It's a big move by you, Dean. I'm not surprised because you're Dean.
I would try the soup. I'm not a huge cheese guy, but I'll try the soup.
You're not a big cheese guy?
No, I'm not a big cheese guy.
He's not a cheese guy.
Get rid of Wells.
That's kind of an ongoing joke around here. I'll eat it.
Like cheese.
I know. It's kind of a... All right, I hope that's not a deal breaker. I hope I can come back.
Schwani's back in. You're out. Sorry. Radio business is ugly. Why'd you get fired? I don't like cheese.
Not a cheese guy.
You got mad at me because I didn't like cheese.
It's Packer week. I can't eat cheese. Come on. There's my tie-in.
I didn't think of that.
Good play.
But you don't like a grilled cheese sandwich?
Not really, no. I used to as a kid, and then I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a dairy guy in general, honest.
You are a communist.
Hates ice cream.
You hate ice cream?
I love the... I don't hate ice cream.
Who are you?
I prefer the non-dairy ice cream. I think it's better. It doesn't hurt my stomach as much.
Well, if you're having, you know, that, if you get that. But here's the sandwich. You like a grilled cheese sandwich, right, Mark?
I love a grilled cheese sandwich.
Grilled cheese. I put I caramelize some onions first. I put a little caramelized onion on the grilled cheese sandwich on sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm.
Grill it all up so you got the cheese and the sweet onion along with the tomato soup. Call it a day.
Little dip action.
Mm-hmm. That's good eating right there.
That sounds delicious. The soup sounds delicious.
Yeah.
The soup sounds delicious.
Can't believe that you don't like cheese. Who doesn't like cheese?
Word on the street is that Kevin's into soup. Loves soup.
I'm going to make a chicken and wild rice soup today, I think. That is my play before the Bears game this afternoon. Yep.
Well, you're going to have plenty of time because you won't have to spend any more time on this show after that.
Well,
I'm very. You don't like
signing
cheese.
Off for the final time.
You don't get on this show. It's,
They did a bathroom in our basement. We worked with the same people we worked with before because we've used Mega before. They're very straightforward and they have ideas. You know, they offer alternatives to you and let you make the decision yourself.
We're talking today with Mega customer Julia Ginsburg.
We as a family enjoy it because it's convenient for us being in the basement. And then we don't have to run upstairs when the kids need to use the facility. They originally were referred to us from some family friends and they had updated our kitchen a few months back and we went ahead because, you know, we had such a good experience the first time. The people we worked with were always very honest and they show up on time and actually after they finished they did send in the cleaning crew. And it was a real positive. So overall, I mean, it was a great experience.
One Mega call does it all.
847-658-8989. 847-658-8989.
Megapros.com.
One Mega call does it all.
Snow River Mountain Resort awaits. Two UP mountains spread over 400 acres with more than 200 inches of powder annually. It's just over the Michigan-Wisconsin border in the Upper Peninsula. Maximize your time and book a room or suite in the freshly renovated hotel. Or treat yourself to the chalets. Recently upgraded with snowmaking, Granite Peak's new sister resort is your UP powder destination. Visit snowriver.com for more details. That's snowriver.com.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, now Sunday afternoon on WGN. Busy day around here. We make room for Hamp and OB coming up at 12:30. And then at 1:30, Joe Brand takes over with Blackhawks pregame. Chicago Blackhawks hockey follows, and then Northwestern, Dave Bennett, the Cats. And then Hampton will be with the post-game from the Bears and Packers game coming up today. So lots still to come for you here today. We're keeping an eye on the weather because we had that snow yesterday. We've got many changing conditions over the next couple of days. A little bit earlier in the show today, we talked with WGN-TV meteorologist Bill Snyder, who is Tom Skilling's weather producer, extremely knowledgeable about what's going to be happening around here. Let's talk some Chicago winter weather because the next few days, as you said, the next week or so, we're going to have a stark reminder of what winter means in Chicago again, aren't we?
What's going to happen today? Well, you know what, today, Dean, I don't think there's going to be too many problems today. We had a little bit of, you know, as you had mentioned at the start of the show here, that we had a little coating of snow overnight this morning in spots. Today, I just expect us to see some, you know, some drizzle and maybe a few spits of flurries here and there, but no accumulation or anything to be concerned about today. And even temperatures will probably warm up a little bit than from where they're at right now in the low 30s. I think we'll get into the mid 30s this afternoon. So I'm not expecting any travel issues or any of that so forth today. But when things start to get interesting is, you know, later tomorrow night. And, you know, we've got it's a complex system. It's going to come in two distinct waves. So the first one arrives, Dean, it looks like, somewhere about midnight or so, you know, maybe an hour or two on either side of that, tomorrow night, and it'll go into the impact the Tuesday morning rush hour. And that system, the first wave of snow, which will be wet and heavy snow, I should mention too. So that's going to be, you know, caution is certainly advised as far as removing that type of snow because it's very wet and we refer to it as heart attack snow because temperatures are going to be hovering right around or even a degree or two above freezing. And that's when temperatures are that warm and you get, you know, heavy snow to fall, it's always going to be of the wet variety. So that system, Dean, looks like most of us can expect about 1 to 3 inches from that first round of snow by Tuesday morning. However, if you're listening to us, you know, along and south of I-80, So areas like Kankakee, Valparaiso, Rensselaer, Indiana, those areas it looks like could get as much as 2 to 5 inches.
Oh, wow.
And so that's, that. You know, again, that's going to, I don't see any impacts. Tomorrow morning's rush hour will be fine. Tomorrow evening's rush hour will be fine, but this will certainly have an impact on Tuesday morning's rush hour, especially on those, you know, secondary and untreated roadways, right. That you know, you could run into some slick spots. Then I think we'll have a brief lull in the precipitation, so probably Tuesday morning, even till about through about lunchtime when that first wave passes through, we'll have a break. But then we'll see the next round come in, and that looks like it's going to impact, certainly have an impact on the Tuesday afternoon and evening rush hour, and could spill over even into Wednesday morning. Now, the difference between the first wave and the second wave is that the secondary one looks like it's going to have the biggest impacts to our northwest. So if you're listening to us from Rockford, Dixon, DeKalb, Huntley, those areas certainly look primed right now to see 4 inches or more of snow from that secondary wave. Elsewhere, it's going to be the forecast is quite tricky, Dean, because it looks like there's going to be a sharp cutoff in snow amounts with that main wave as it comes in. And, you know, as we always say, you know, people like to post snow maps on social media days ahead of time. You know, our technology's gotten so good, but the fact of the matter is that there's just no skill at precisely predicting the exact amount of snow in your neighborhood 5 or 6 days out, which is why what we try to do in the weather profession here is we try to just, you know, the approach is to just flag the system down and say, hey, look, this is a system that we're watching. It's going to impact the area. But, you know, at this point in time, let's just you know,
keep
give a heads up.
Just keep an eye.
Right, exactly. Yep. And if you're traveling that day, you want to pay close attention to the forecast, and it's certainly something that would be refined in the coming days. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, any slight alteration in the track of the low pressure system, and that's, you know, typically what we look for in forecasting winter storms. But, you know, a change in the track, Dean, even 30 to 50 miles can have a huge impact on just where that narrow band of heavy snow lays out. So the way it looks right now, and again, this, you know, again, this is subject to change, but the way it looks right now with that main wave of snow that, excuse me, that's going to come in Tuesday, Tuesday afternoon into Wednesday morning, you know, the far west and northwest suburbs look to be most favored. So, you know, even as close by as Elgin and Aurora, you know, could be in for it. Now, areas close to the city, it's going to be a close call. I mean, there'll still probably be some snow. However, I don't think that the heaviest snow band is going to fall like right over the heart of Chicago, okay, or even affect our two major airports.
Right.
But you know, it's interesting. Yeah, we're certainly going to watch that, and that's not the only storm we're going to see this week, Dean.
Oh, good.
I know, right?
When,
that's what we wanted to hear.
When does the second punch come in?
So the second storm looks to arrive later Friday into Saturday, and that system, you know, where the two distinct differences between these systems, Dean, is that the first one, we're teetering right on the fence as far as where the rain snow line is going to lay out, and even where it's going to snow, temperatures are going to be hovering around or even a couple of degrees above freezing. And that is always tricky when forecasting snow, because if your temperature is above freezing and it doesn't snow heavy enough, you get some melting and compacting of the snow as it falls. And, you know, you don't have as much accumulation as you would otherwise if the temperatures were colder, you know, more dense atmosphere for the snowfall, the production to occur. Now, the second system that arrives Friday, Saturday, that is going to fall in a far colder environment. And there is little doubt that the precipitation form will be snow, and it's going to fall, you know, occur with some wind. And as that system pulls through here, it's going to drag down the coldest air of the season by far. And that's going to come in this, you know, next weekend, and it'll spill over into the week that follows. And, you know, some days, you know, during this stretch of days here, we could be talking high temperatures in single digits and the nighttime lows that dip below zero, which we haven't seen that yet. You know, we've been so fortunate this winter. You know, we like to refer to winter, you know, climatologically in the weather profession, as one that starts in December 1st and runs through the end of February. And, you know, up until just a day or two ago, you know, we've had 18 consecutive days with temperatures above normal. We've had the third warmest start to a winter in the past 153 years. We had, you know, we marveled at just how extraordinarily warm December was. And even, you know, even the lack of snow. I mean, it's what, you know, it's interesting, Dean, you were mentioning about our snow yesterday. I looked, we had 2.6 inches of snow officially at O'Hare yesterday. Do you know that that was the biggest calendar day snow here in almost a year?
Wow.
Since back on January the 25th last year, we had 3.6 inches. So well, I'm it's not, been a
I,
while.
I haven't been complaining about it.
I know.
I haven't minded it at all.
I haven't either. I'm sure our snowplow drivers out there probably would beg to differ with us on that one. But I completely agree with you,
Kevin. Did you have a question for Bill?
My question was answered miserably, unfortunately.
I
wanted Bill to know about Fridays.
If Bill is nothing else, he's thorough. I will say that much.
I just wanted to know about Friday because I think we were all talking about this Monday thing and more snow, and we haven't really had any. And now I'm like, what the heck? There's something coming in Friday, but too early to forecast totals for that one. That was pretty much all I had.
You know, Kevin, I hesitate. We hesitate to do that just because, you know, there's certainly...
too much can change between now and then, right?
Yeah, sure.
And again, like I said, you know, the precise track of the low pressure system, you know, at this distance, you know, at this point, what we say is it's lines on a weather map. Okay. You know, our modeling has gotten so good, but even at this distance, you know, this close in distance, you know, you change the track and there's been fluctuations, known to be fluctuations in the storm track, especially at this distance. And 50 to 100 miles in that track can really make a difference in where the heaviest snow lays out. So,
Kevin, you can't,
that's another system to watch. Let's get through the first one that comes in tomorrow night through Tuesday night into Wednesday. And
Kevin,
we'll try and catch our breath and get ready for the next one.
You can't tell that he's Skilling's producer at all, or, you know, assistant and protege, right?
He is phenomenal.
With all the details. Bill, you are the greatest.
The only thing I want to know, what do you use for dibs, Bill?
Oh, for dibs? You know what? I don't. Kevin, I live in the suburbs, so I don't need any dibs.
Oh, you're lucky man.
So no dibs, I know, but I always marvel at just the different types of things that people use.
One of my favorite things every year is the creativity.
The creativity that
people have of, you know, putting stuff out in the street to save their parking spaces. I got to get a couple of messages in here, and then Kevin will have a news update for us. Bill, we really appreciate the very, very thorough weather update. Thank you, my friend. Welcome back.
Hey, always, Dean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Everybody stay warm this week.
I'm going to have a tropical drink thinking of you while I watch the Golden Globes later on today.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. That sounds like a good plan, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That's Bill Snyder. We were talking with Bill Snyder earlier in the show today, the Tom Skilling's weather producer over at Channel 9, Emmy Award winning. And he had just came back from vacation in Montego Bay in Jamaica. So he was went from the warm weather, what did he say, 80 degrees, mid-80s, to back to this, and then coming back to the snow that looks like snow and cold that we're going to be dealing with over the next week or so. We will definitely keep you posted on all of that. We will be getting a news update from Ron Brown in a couple of minutes, and then it'll be Hamp and OB previewing the Bears and Packers game for today, just ahead of a full day of sports here on WGN, which will include the Blackhawks today. Joe Brand coming up with a pregame at 1:30 today following Hamp and OB. And then Dave Ennett, the Northwestern Wildcats, following Blackhawks. And then Hamp and OB will be back after that with Bears postgame. And hopefully it'll be a positive outcome for all of that. So that's what we have coming up for you today on WGN Radio. Coming up on the TV side this week, I've got my tomorrow, first of all, with the Golden Globes. Golden Globe Awards are tonight. They are on CBS and on Paramount Plus tonight. Very unusual because for decades it's been on NBC. But if you're looking for it tonight, it's going to be on CBS. I know a lot of you are not overly fond of the award shows, of sitting and watching the award shows. You know, there's something for everybody. I think they're incredibly entertaining, but, you know, some people don't. I will watch it all. I'll have the full recap of all the winners and losers tomorrow on Bob Surratt Show, on my regular segment that I do with Bob between 8 and 8:30 tomorrow morning, and, of course, all morning long on the WGN-TV Morning News. We'll show you the winners. We'll show you any special moments. We'll show you, you know, anything that's worth seeing. We combine it down so you don't have to sit through a long, boring award show, although I don't think it's going to be all that boring this year. You know, our friend Joe Coy is hosting the event this year. He's very different from, you know, previous hosts that they've had on any of the award shows. He's a very different kind of stand-up comedian than, say, Ricky Gervais or Tina Fey or Amy Poehler or, you know, some of the others who have done it, where it's, you know, attack all the people who are sitting in the front row. Sometimes it gets political. Joe doesn't do stuff like that. He's very funny in a different way. We'll see. We'll see how he does with it all. We'll, whatever it is, we'll you know, we'll give you the full analysis on all that tomorrow morning. So we'll look forward to bringing you that. Later on in the week, we have some other special things for you, including one-on-one with Kevin Hart, one of America's favorite comedians and actors. He's got a new movie out, which it's an animated movie on which he does a voice, but we are able to sit down and talk with him, and we'll share that with you coming up later on in the week. Also, we've got my regular Wednesday cooking segment. We've got so much going on my regular cooking segment this coming week, because we're trying to keep it, you know, fitting of the weather. With the snow that we've got coming in, this colder weather that we've got coming in, I wanted, you know, kind of a comfort food, something nice and toasty warm. And I will be doing a homemade from scratch sun-dried tomato soup. I use regular tomatoes in it, of course, also, but I add sun-dried tomatoes in it because the intensity of those sun-dried tomatoes just brings the level of tomato goodness up to a different level. I put fresh basil in it. I've got garlic in it and sautéed onions in it. And what else do I put? I've got all kinds of completely fresh ingredients that make a delicious soup. I'll show you how easy it is to put together Wednesday on the WGN-TV Morning News, along with my favorite kind of grilled cheese sandwich. All of that and more is coming up.